relatively complex and costly. It requires, for example, finding translators for different languages, making sure the translations remain up to date with product development, etc. Small and medium-sized companies need to produce translations but cannot invest too much money in this. Hence, machine translation is often seen as a desirable technology from their point of view. Outside of this niche market, large public administrations and the defense and intelligence industries remained the primary clients of these companies. We will return to this topic at greater length when we look at the current machine translation market in Chapter 14. 7. Parallel corpora and sentence alignment. The 1980s saw an increase in the number of available electronic texts, texts directly accessible by computers. Among these texts, some were translations of each other and could therefore be aligned or matched at paragraph or sentence level. These aligned texts have always been an invaluable source of knowledge for human translators. It soon became clear, however, that automatic tools could also benefit from these new data. In fact, this increasingly large amount of data revived the field and, most importantly, completely revolutionized the approach used for machine translation. The notion of parallel corpora, or bi-texts. A parallel corpus is a corpus composed of a set of pairs of texts in a translation context. An aligned parallel pair of texts is called a bi-text, from bilingual text, while a multi-text includes multiple aligned translations. This type of resource is popular among professional human translators. It is actually an extremely valuable source of knowledge. More than a bilingual dictionary, previous translations can provide examples of relevant translations according to the context. In the case of technical translation, the translator must generally use the terminology, the phraseology, and the style of previous translations for reasons of uniformity. It is therefore essential to have access to past translations. It is also important to know in which direction the translation was carried out, that is, the source language, since the source is by definition the reference text. Human translators thus generally have access to past translations through a tool called a translation memory. A translation memory module makes it possible to store and retrieve fragments of translation from past work, generally through a powerful search engine. Past translations can be analyzed and tagged before being stored, which makes it possible to query the translation memory powerfully rather than with basic keywords. There are several tools like this available on the market, primarily for professional translators. Bi-texts were perceived very early on as an important source of knowledge for machine translation. Translation memories contain relevant translation fragments, since these tools store professional past translations. Beyond that, more and more bilingual texts are available on the Internet, so one can imagine the development of systems based uniquely on bilingual data from the Internet. Today, this is, in fact, the dominant approach in the field of machine translation. Two types of approaches can be distinguished. On the one hand, the analysis of existing translations and their generalization according to various linguistic strategies can be used as a reservoir of knowledge for future translations. This is known as example-based translation, because in this approach, previous translations are considered examples for new translations. On the other hand, with the increasing amount of translations available on the Internet, it is now possible to directly design statistical models for machine translation. This approach, known as statistical machine translation, is the most popular today. Unlike a translation memory, which can be relatively small, automatic processing presumes the availability of an enormous amount of data. Robert Mercer, one of the pioneers of statistical translation, proclaimed, "There is no data like more data." In other words, for Mercer, as well as followers of the statistical approach, the best strategy for developing a system consists in accumulating as much data as possible. These data must be representative and diversified, but as these are qualitative criteria that are difficult to evaluate, it is the quantitative criterion that continues to prevail. In fact, it has been proven that the system's performance regularly improves as more bitexts are available to develop it. Availability of parallel corpora. There are two major sources of bitexts. On the one hand, corpora already available for two or more languages, the bitexts may be aligned or not. On the other hand, for pairs of languages without adequate corpora, techniques have been developed to automatically develop such corpora, generally by collecting texts available on the web. Existing corpora. There are well-known sources of parallel texts. For example, the majority of countries and institutions that have several official languages have to produce official texts, legislative texts for example, in each of these different languages. This is generally a source of very valuable bilingual corpora, since the translation must be an accurate copy of the original. But since these texts are for the most part associated with legislative and legal fields, machine translation systems based on these data may not be very accurate for other domains or other genres. The first experiments regarding the alignment of texts in the 1980s drew heavily on the Canadian Hansard, which records the official transcripts of Canadian parliamentary debates. The Canadian Hansard is aligned at text level and also at sentence level, which means that the corpus is an invaluable source of knowledge when translating between French and English. Other corpora of the same type are available today, particularly corpora made of texts produced by European institutions. The European context is by nature highly multilingual and has already produced several invaluable resources, such as the Europarl corpus and the JRC Acquis corpus. Both of these corpora include more than 20 languages from Europe. These corpora have been intensively used by machine translation systems and are easy to use, since they are in fact already aligned at text and paragraph level, as well as occasionally at sentence level. They consist of several tens of millions of words for each language, but the size varies a great deal according to the language or the pair of languages in consideration. For example, Europarl contains 11 million words for Estonian, 33 million for Finnish, and 54 million words for both English and French. Many other corpora exist, especially for other families of languages, although it is generally the strongest languages, meaning the most widely represented on the internet, that are the most popular. However, these corpora are not always sufficient. Most languages have very few or even no resources at all to develop a system. In this context, it is necessary to develop new corpora, and this is usually done on the web. Automatic creation of parallel corpora. Researchers early on sought to exploit the massive texts available on the internet to complete existing resources. The web is actually far more diverse than existing available parallel corpora, which are related to the legal domain for the most part, as already mentioned. The techniques for harvesting high-quality bilingual text on the web are relatively simple. A harvesting system generally includes a robot, that is, a system capable of browsing the web by bouncing from page to page while following the links mentioned on each web page. Then, for each web page, the system checks the language used and if an equivalent page in the target language exists. The system begins with the rarer language of the two. For example, if the aim is to develop a bilingual corpus between Greek and English, it seems more appropriate to begin with websites written in Greek, which are fewer in number than websites in English. It should also be noted that few pages in English have a corresponding page in Greek, whereas the opposite situation is more likely. For example, websites of English universities rarely have a translation in Greek, whereas websites of Greek universities often have a translation in English. For each website or page, two tricks can be used. First, the system searches for an equivalent at the website address, URL level. For example, if one site corresponds with the URL http://my.website.com/gr/, the system will look for an equivalent such as http://my.website.com/en/. That is, a mirror site in the target language identified by its URL. If this first strategy does not work, the system can search each web page for a link toward the page in the target language, since multilingual sites often make it possible to navigate from one language to the other. These links are often identifiable through small icons featuring the country symbol of the target language. Once two websites have been identified as being translations of each other, the system has to control correspondences at the level of individual web pages. Several tools can be applied to check the language of the identified web pages if this was not previously done. Then one can compare, for example, the length of the documents. If two documents or two texts are of very different sizes, they are probably not a reliable translation. The HTML structure. The two files must share the same structure, and so on. These techniques have little to do with linguistics, but when applied at web scale, they can allow for the extremely rapid development of large corpora in numerous languages from scratch. If the content of the selected web pages is closely monitored, for example, by starting with a list of specific URLs and then retrieving only those web pages that contain specific keywords, it is furthermore possible to obtain specialized corpora for different domains at a lower cost. Nonetheless, one must keep in mind that the process is entirely automatic. It does not guarantee the representativeness of the data nor the quality of the identified sources. In fact, nothing guarantees the quality of the bytexts obtained in such a way. However, quantity goes together with quality. A given website may propose poor translations, but the consequences will be limited, since one can expect that a multitude of other websites will propose good translations, which means that bad translations will be statistically negligible and have no influence in the end. For the same reasons, a literary translation that is unique and original will also be discarded because it will not be statistically significant among all the other translation possibilities. This is not really a problem for machine translation, which looks for standard equivalence and does not attempt to produce originality. Still, the limitations of this approach must be noted. Not all languages are well represented on the internet, and this is especially true when searching for bilingual texts. In practice, in the majority of existing corpora, one of the languages is English, increasing the influence of this language. Despite the amount of available data, it is difficult to harvest enough data to develop a quality bilingual corpus if one of the languages, target or source, is not English. I will return to this subject later in Chapter 11. Once the corpus has been built, it is necessary to align it at paragraph or sentence level, or both, for it to be usable by machine translation systems. Sentence alignment. In nearly all languages, a sentence is a linguistic unit that is syntactically and semantically autonomous, as opposed to a phrase or any other non-autonomous group of words. Consequently, natural language processing is often based on the notion of the sentence, particularly machine translation, which operates generally sentence by sentence, each being considered independently from the others. Sentence alignment flourished toward the end of the 1980s and in the 1990s, during a time when more and more corpora were becoming available. Several kinds of applications using this type of resource were also beginning to appear. Machine translation, of course, but also other multilingual applications, for example, multilingual terminology extraction. Sentence alignment is generally based on specific features of bytexts. It is assumed that the translation generally follows the structure of the original text and that the sentences are usually chained in the same way in the source text and the target text. Furthermore, one can define a length ratio between two pairs of languages. For example, in terms of number of words, a French text is generally 1.2 times longer than the corresponding English text. The relative length of the sentences was the first criterion explored for sentence alignment. The first experiments in the domain of sentence alignment were made on the transcripts of the Canadian Parliament, since this corpus is of extremely good quality and the translation is very close to the original texts, contrary to what is usually found on the Internet. Alignment based on relative length of sentences. A simple strategy for sentence alignment is to observe, first, that the sentences of a text vary in length, and second, that there is usually a good correlation between sentence length of the source text and sentence length of the target text. One can try to align the sentences on this basis, that is, by observing the relative length of difference in the source text and looking for similar patterns in the target language. In order to avoid spreading alignment errors, that is, a mistake in a given place that spreads to the rest of the text, it is therefore necessary to proceed somewhat globally, not just sentence by sentence. One way to solve the problem is to find specific patterns in the source language and observe whether the same patterns can be found in the target language. This way, it is possible to find islands of confidence or relatively reliable configurations distributed throughout the text. The system tries to bridge the gaps by establishing links between the source and the target text, so as to obtain a fully connected by-text in the end. Each sentence in the source language must be linked to one or sometimes two sentences in the target language. In the end, the system may have to proceed to asymmetric alignments, that is, connecting one sentence in the source text with more than one sentence in the target text. There are many ways of accomplishing a dynamic alignment, for example, by identifying the shortest and longest sentences or the difference in length between adjacent sentences, by calculating the length of groups of sentences in the first place, and so on. Gale and Church applied this type of algorithm to the Hansard corpus, Canadian Parliament texts, obtaining an error rate of about 4%, that is, 4% of the sentences were wrongly aligned. They show that this rate can even be lowered to less than 1% if only one-to-one mappings between sentences are taken into account. That is, if we keep only single sentences in the source text that correspond to single sentences in the target text, which means that asymmetric alignments lead to more errors. They also show that the one-to-one relation corresponds to more than 89% of the sentences in the source text. About 9% correspond to one-to-two or two-to-one relations. That is, one sentence in the source text is connected to exactly two sentences in the target language, or vice versa. And the other cases, that is, a sentence that is not translated, or one sentence translated by three or more sentences, are very marginal. The great advantage of this approach is its simplicity and its relative robustness. It has been proven that the method works well for different pairs of languages. The method is actually transferable and completely independent from the languages considered. It can even be applied to non-alphabetical languages with syllabic or ideographic writing, such as Asian languages. This robustness must nevertheless be qualified, since performance will worsen if the translation is not as reliable as in the case of the Canadian Parliament transcripts, which is an exceptionally good corpus from this point of view. The method can also suffer from discrepancies, one misalignment leading to other misalignments, creating a cascading effect, even if the dynamic approach described is meant to respond to this problem. Different strategies have been devised to limit the problems of cascading misalignments. One way consists in trying to first find homogeneous text portions made of several sentences. Paragraphs are the most obvious units between the text and the sentence level, and paragraphs have been used with some success to complete the task. Additionally, most texts now come from the web, which means they contain HTML or other explicit tags that can be used for text alignment, since the target text may have the same structure as the source text. Finally, it is also possible to locate similar words in the original text and in the translation. This helps in finding what are called correspondence points. This approach is said to be lexical, since it is based on the analysis of a part of the lexicon. Lexical approach. Several studies have proposed strategies to align sentences based on lexical correspondences. This strategy is less generic than those described so far, but it is relatively efficient, especially between linguistically related languages. If one considers a given bitext, that is, a pair of texts such that one is a translation of the other, one can often observe similar or nearly similar strings referring, for example, to person names, locations, and more generally proper nouns. These lexical correspondences are generally called cognates. Other elements can play a similar role, especially numbers, acronyms, and so on. Typography can also be helpful to identify related words, for example, in bold and italics. All of these elements can be used to identify correspondence points between the source and the target texts. Sentence alignment is then calculated by resorting to dynamic programming in a manner similar to what is done for alignment based on sentence length. Pairs of sentences with several correspondence points are most probably translations of each other. The process is applied iteratively until there is nothing left to align. Mixed approaches. It is, of course, possible to combine the two approaches in order to define a system based on both lexical indices and sentence length. On the one hand, cognates are rarely sufficient for aligning two texts. On the other hand, sentence length is generally a good feature for alignment, but it can happen that several consecutive sentences have a similar length. The idea is to find as many cues as possible between sentences to reinforce confidence in different local alignments. Sentence alignment was a particularly active research topic in the 1990s. Researchers explored various cues, especially the structure of HTML elements. The presence of titles, frames, and icons were used as features for the task. As a result of this research effort, the number of available bilingual corpora exploded in the 1990s. These new resources cleared the path for example-based translation and then for statistical translation, which is now the dominant paradigm in the field. The following chapters will discuss how these resources have been exploited in order to produce more robust and more reliable translation systems than those developed previously. 8. Example-based machine translation. Example-based translation, or translation by analogy, was introduced in the 1980s in Japan by Makoto Nagao. Nagao noticed that traditional rule-based systems, still the common approach during the 1980s, tended to become more and more complex over time. As a result, they were progressively more difficult to maintain, which was, of course, a major problem. These systems generally also require a complete analysis of the sentence to be translated, which makes them extremely weak. If just one part of a given sentence cannot be analyzed, no translation will be provided for the whole sentence. Conversely, Nagao observed that professional human translators mainly work with fragments of text that they translate and recombine to form complete and coherent sentences. Translators generally do not carry out a complete preliminary analysis of the sentence to be translated, he argued. At the same time, Nagao noticed that parallel corpora contain a great deal of valuable information that is, for the most part, lacking in bilingual dictionaries, even professional ones. Thus, he suggested, rather than trying to develop new dictionaries and new analysis or transfer rules between the languages at hand, it would be more convenient to directly use fragments of translation that one can find in existing bilingual corpora. An overview of example-based machine translation. Example-based machine translation typically operates in three stages to translate a given sentence. The system tries to find fragments of the sentence to be translated in the corpora available for the source language. All the relevant fragments are collected and stored. The system then looks for translational equivalences in the target language, thanks to the bi-texts used for translation. The system finally tries to combine the translation fragments to obtain a correct sentence in the target language. A simple example will illustrate this approach. Let's imagine that we ask the system to translate "training is not the solution to every problem" into French, and that a bilingual corpus is available with, among others, the following pairs of sentences. Example 1. Training is not the solution to everything. La formation n'est pas la solution universelle. Example 2. Training is not the solution to all parenting struggles. La formation n'est pas la solution à toutes les difficultés rencontrées par les parents. Example 3. There is a solution to every problem. Il y a une solution à tous les problèmes. Example 4. There is a spiritual solution to every problem. Il y a une solution spirituelle à tous les problèmes. The system tries to find translational equivalents in the target language. For example, training is not the solution can be found in example 1 and example 2. In both cases, the translation includes la formation n'est pas la solution. The system can infer that it is a translation of the English sequence, since this expression is shared by the two sentences in the target language. Likewise, from example 3 and example 4, the system can infer that "to every problem" can be translated into French as "à tous les problèmes." By combining these two identified sequences of words, the system produces the translation "la formation n'est pas la solution à tous les problèmes." As one might imagine, this is a very simplified example, one where the sentence in the source language directly corresponds to long-existing sequences of words in the target language. In practice, the problem is obviously more complicated. The search for translation examples. Since it is very rare to find exact matches at sentence level between the text to be translated and the available bilingual corpus, it is necessary to find equivalences, called examples in this approach, at the infrasentential level, as discussed in the previous example. But even at the infrasentential level, searching for translational equivalences is a complex problem. One, the identified examples, sequences of exactly matching words, are often very short. Two, for the same sequence in the source languages, different translations can often be found, and it is not obvious how to choose the most relevant one. And three, merging different fragments of text is difficult, since fragments often overlap or are not fully compatible with each other. Thus, rather than just looking for exact equivalences at word level or character level, it is useful to try to find equivalences on a more general basis, in order to make the approach more robust. This is often referred to as translation by analogy. It no longer involves finding fragments of texts that reproduce the exact sentence to be translated, but rather fragments of texts bearing an analogy with the sentence to translate. Several techniques have been proposed to find analogies, translational equivalents, or examples on a more or less linguistic basis. Comparison of strings of characters, comparison of words, comparison of sequences of linguistic tags, that is, noun, verb, etc., comparison of linguistic structures. The first approach, comparison of strings of characters, has the advantage of being independent of the languages considered and can, for example, also be applied to Asian languages. The fact that a word can often be a single character in Asian languages is not a problem for this approach. The second strategy, comparison of words, is well suited for languages with good lemmatizers, that is, tools able to recognize words as they appear in a dictionary. But this is not the case for all languages. Moreover, as already said, These approaches are too close to the surface of the text. There are too many sources of variation in a language to make these techniques really powerful. More advanced techniques rely on a stage of text pre-processing to enrich available bilingual corpora with higher-level information. In practice, linguistic tags are added to words in order to make it possible for the system to have a more abstract representation of the data. The pre-processing stage generally includes part of speech tagging, recognizing adjectives, nouns, verbs, etc., and sometimes a shallow semantic analysis, recognizing dates, proper nouns, idioms, etc. Transfer rules mapping linguistic sequences between the source language and the target language must then take into account this new information. For example, if adjectives have been described as optional, "there is a spiritual solution" can be used to translate "il y a une solution," even if the French fragment does not include any word related to spiritual. Of course, when linguistic equivalences are not perfect, the translation may possibly be quite different from the original text. Lastly, the recognition of specific syntactic structures would make it possible to proceed through a direct comparison of syntactic trees, that is, a representation of the structure of the sentence. In theory, this strategy makes it possible to compare sentences that look very different at surface level, that is, if one just looks at sequences of words. For example, the two sentences, "he gave Mary a book" and "he gave this book to Mary," have the same syntactic structure, although a system that looks only at sequences of words would find merely similar fragments, "he gave" and a few isolated words. Once the relevant fragments in the target language have been collected, a series of rules or statistical indices are applied to try to recompose a complete sentence from the identified fragments. This is a difficult task because these fragments are usually partial and incomplete, and they overlap and do not correspond to autonomous syntactic phrases. Some research groups tried to develop systems using only relevant syntactic phrases, complete noun phrases or verb phrases, for example, but this does not result in any improvement for different reasons, mainly data sparsity. It is very difficult to collect enough relevant examples at phrase level. Appeal and limitations of example-based machine translation. Example-based machine translation generated great interest during the 1980s. Rather than developing a machine translation system manually, which is long and very costly, the example-based approach allowed for optimal exploitation of large quantities of bilingual texts that were beginning to be available at the time. It is clearly not a coincidence if this approach emerged at the same time as the first work on bilingual text alignment. The approach was mainly explored for Asian languages that do not show the same similarity as, for example, French-English pairs. Hence, the Japanese structure, noun 1, no, noun 2, is often cited as an example because the particle no, corresponding to the Japanese character, can represent various types of links between two nouns. Here are some examples frequently cited in literature and taken from an article from 1991. 3つのホテル, 3 hotels. 1週間の休暇, a week's holiday. 京都での会議, the conference in Kyoto. 会議の参加料, the application fee for the conference. 会議の目的, the objective of the conference. 8日の午後, the afternoon of the 8th. It is clear from that no can express a wide variety of possible relations between the two nouns. It can be a kind of genitive, but it can also express indications of goal, time, or location. The authors demonstrate that it is hardly possible to formalize this by rules, since it would require the system to have access to semantic information. The example-based approach seems to be more appropriate as long as the examples provide a good coverage of the text to be translated. The limits of this approach are clear. By default, if no translational fragment is found from the set of examples, the system will either fail or produce a word-for-word translation. This approach was essentially explored for genetically distant languages, typically Japanese to English, for which it seemed difficult to develop manual transfer rules. Rather than describing specific contexts manually, the proponents of the example-based approach observed that an ambiguous pattern can be disambiguated with a proper look at semantic classes and explicit markers in the translational equivalencies. For example, in the case of the Japanese particle no, it is possible to find equivalencies with the English genitive marked by apostrophe s, and with sequences introduced by specific prepositions, for, in, of, etc. Each of these elements, no on one hand and genitive markers or prepositions on the other hand, is considered as a marker. The approach was also used for specific domains using a particular sub-language with a limited vocabulary and a very specific and highly regular terminology and phraseology. This is, for example, the case of computer documentation, which is one of the main fields where example-based translation has been tested with some success. In such contexts, sentences are regular and the same expressions are often used, which means that the example-based approach can obtain an acceptable coverage of the text to be translated. The main problem remained, however, extending the coverage, which is always partial, even for the most regular texts. The consequence is that example-based translation is interesting, but can hardly be used alone in practical contexts. Example-based translation has therefore sometimes been used as a module within a more complex system. Mixing the example-based approach with a statistical analysis of very large corpora has proven to lead to very interesting results, since statistical approaches are known to have good recall and can in turn benefit from the precision of the example-based paradigm. 9. Statistical machine translation and word alignment. Since the late 1990s, aligned bilingual corpora have been the object of various studies aiming to extract translational equivalencies between languages at the word or phrase levels. For example, a popular task of that decade was to extract bilingual lexicons for human translators from available parallel texts. Attempts to produce entirely automatic translation systems through statistical analysis took place simultaneously, the approach that remains most popular today and has given rise to the most pioneering research in the field. Word alignment is a considerably more complex task than sentence alignment, as one can imagine. While there is often a one-to-one correspondence between the source text and its translation at sentence level, in other words, one sentence from the source text most often corresponds to one sentence in the translation, this does not necessarily apply at word level. It is well known that languages differ significantly and that many words cannot be directly translated. Most correspondences are therefore said to be asymmetrical, that is, one word from the source or target language corresponds to zero, one, or n words in the other language. Some examples. Consider the following example. Thanks to those in the field for their insights, translated as Merci à tous ceux qui, sur le terrain, ont fait part de leurs idées. Taken from the website www.unaids.org. The English sentence contains 9 words, where the French equivalent contains 14. It is thus difficult to propose an alignment at word level, since the two sentences do not have the same structure. The French version introduces a relative clause, whereas English uses simpler and more direct wording. In this example, the equivalent of the preposition for is, in some ways, qui en fait partie. We could imagine relating for to all the words in the French expression, but this would hardly make any sense. This is also very true for the following example. Several words from the source sentence are not directly translated in the target sentence. Furthermore, the links between the two sentences intersect several times due to the inversion of the two propositions. The English sequence, "that what he has announced he will actually do," appears in French as qu'il fasse réellement ce qu'il a annoncé. One word from the source language can furthermore correspond to several words in the target language, and vice versa. Will see corresponds to the simple verb form in the future tense, verrions, whereas, in the opposite direction, a link can be established between the simple word what and the French expression ce que. Lastly, the end of the sentence is difficult to align correctly. It would be more satisfactory to draw a link directly between the phrase "the need for it becomes apparent" and "la nécessité s'enfant ressentir," because it is hard to see how this very good translation could be decomposed. The phrase "the need" can probably be aligned with "la nécessité," but nothing in French can be considered a direct translation of "becomes apparent." In sum, identifying lexical equivalencies is a difficult task to automate because the search space, that is, the number of possibilities to be considered, is huge. Each word from the source language can potentially be linked to any single word or group of words in the target language. This is, of course, not true when a human being is performing the task on known languages, but imagine how complex it would be with completely unknown languages. This is the case for computers, which do not have any idea of syntax or semantics and do not have access to a lexical resource like a dictionary. From a linguistic point of view, the task seems even more questionable, since one thing we know about translation is that there are no direct equivalencies between languages at word level. The proof is that a word-for-word translation is generally very bad. For the most part, these ideas are right, and we will see that for the past several years, efforts have focused on taking into account more complex sequences of words in machine translation in order to avoid the basic errors that arise from the word-for-word approach. Nonetheless, toward the end of the 1980s, the statistical approach based on sentence alignment at the word level led to remarkable progress for machine translation. This approach naturally takes into account the statistical nature of language, which means that the approach focuses on the most frequent patterns in a language and, despite its limitations, is able to produce acceptable translations for a significant number of simple sentences. In certain cases, statistical models can also identify idioms thanks to asymmetric alignments. One word from the source language aligned with several words from the target language, for example, which means they can also overcome the word-for-word limitation. In the following section, we will examine several lexical alignment models developed toward the end of the 1980s and the beginning of the 1990s. The goal of this approach is to use very large bilingual corpora to automatically extract bilingual lexicons. In these lexicons, different translations are proposed for each word, and each of these translations is assigned a score reflecting its probability of being a correct translation. These lexicons are a fundamental part of machine translation systems, as they provide the basis for a word-for-word translation. The fundamental equation of machine translation. At the end of the 1980s, an IBM research team located in Yorktown Heights, New York, decided to develop a machine translation system based on techniques initially developed for speech transcription. Speech transcription refers to the task of producing a written text from a sound sequence. Translation can be seen as a similar task, the only difference being that the input signal is a sequence of words in the source language instead of a sound sequence. The IBM experiments were described in a series of papers published at the end of the 1980s and the beginning of the 1990s. The authors take as a starting point the fact that there are always several possible translations for a given sentence, whatever the source and target language may be. The choice among these various possibilities is to some extent a matter of taste and personal choice. Bearing this in mind, one can consider that any sequence in the target language can be considered a translation, to a certain extent, of a sequence in the source language. Given a pair of sentences, S and T, where S is the source sentence and T is the target sentence, it is possible to calculate a probability, PR of T given S, that a human translator would produce translation T from the sequence S. The idea is that PR of T given S will be very small for a pair of sentences like Le matin, je me brossé les dents. President Wilson was a good lawyer, and a lot higher for a pair such as Le président Wilson était un bon avocat. President Wilson was a good lawyer. In other words, every translation in the target language can be considered a translation of a sentence in the source language, but realistic translations will obtain a score well above zero, whereas the others will remain close to zero. The IBM team showed that this hypothesis can be modeled using well-known principles from probability theory, namely Bayes' theorem. Bayes' theorem, in a way, reverses the problem and aims to determine, given various sequences from the target language, which has the most chance of being a translation of the source language. This can be formalized with the following equation. PR of T given S equals PR of T times PR of S given T over PR of S, where PR of T is a language model of the target language, and PR of S given T is a translation model. In other words, PR of S given T measures the probability of sequence S according to sequence T, meaning the probability that S is a sequence in the source language that corresponds to sequence T. If the probability is close to 1, then the two sentences are probably a translation of one another, whereas PR of T measures the probability of the sequence in the target language without taking the source language into account, that is, the probability that T forms a valid and well-formed sequence in the target language, thus accounting for word order in the target language. For example, PR of T encodes the fact that the sequence the red car is more frequent than car red the, or red car the. The translation of la voiture rouge will then be the red car, rather than any other sequence formed with these same words. We will hear later that the translation model PR of S given T makes the translation process possible by breaking down the sentence into small fragments to search for equivalencies at word level. When all word-for-word equivalencies are put together, different sentences are possible that differ only in their word order. PR of T helps select among these solutions the sequence that has a chance of being the most correct in the target language, taking into account only considerations of word order. Since the denominator in the first equation does not depend on T, the equation can be simplified as follows. T prime equals argmax sub T on the interval from PR of T times PR of S given T. For the IBM team, this formula is the fundamental equation of machine translation because all statistical models thereafter originate from it. It should be noted that the equation does not explain how to decompose the source sentence during the translation process. The easiest way is for the model to rely on words and perform a word-for-word translation, at least in a first approximation. In this context, the idea is to find for each word in the source language an equivalent in the target language using a very large aligned corpus at sentence level, as we heard in Chapter 7. In order to do this, the IBM team proposed to decompose the statistical translation process into three different steps. 1. Determine the length of the target sentence depending on the length of the source sentence. 2. Identify the best possible alignment between the source sentence and the target sentence, and then, 3, find correspondences at word level, that is, find word M sub T in the target language corresponding to word M sub S in the source language. This strategy clearly gives a very simplified picture of the translation process. In particular, the first step assumes that every sentence of length L in the source language will be translated by a sentence of length M in the target language. In fact, at the end of the 1980s, IBM was fully aware of the limitations of the approach. Various articles published at the time stressed the fact that such an approach would have to be complemented by efforts to incorporate more linguistic knowledge and more complex matching rules between languages. For the IBM team, it was even probable that this approach would not make it possible to go very far given its inherent limitations. But IBM sought to evaluate the quality of the results obtained with a very simple approach compared to more complex systems obtained after years of human effort. We will soon hear that the results obtained were incredibly good from this point of view. The essential part in the IBM model thus resided in the choice of words for the translation in the target language, which means that the essence of the overall model can be found within the lexical alignment strategy, that is, alignment at word level. The overall approach comprises two very different steps. The first one aims at extracting as much information as possible from very large bilingual corpora. The second one uses this knowledge to translate new sentences. More precisely, the approach can be described as follows. 1. A word alignment algorithm is applied to a very large corpus made of bitexts, texts aligned at sentence level. The result of this analysis is twofold: a bilingual dictionary, that is, the result of the alignment at word level, and the most likely global alignment at sentence level. 2. This huge amount of information is then used to translate new sentences that the end user wants to translate. The first step is often called the training step or learning step, and the second step is the processing step or testing step. It is important that the data used for training be similar to the data used for testing in order for the system to produce satisfactory results. As one can imagine, the key point lies in the quality of the information accumulated during the training step, which essentially entails analyzing a very large aligned corpus at word and sentence levels. The seminal paper from IBM in 1993 described 5 alignment models, each of which is a modification of the previous model. Different approaches for lexical alignment, the IBM models. As we have heard, the translation approach developed within IBM in the late 1980s was essentially based on translation choices carried out at word level. So the crucial ingredient in this approach is an accurate bilingual dictionary. With the statistical framework, a bilingual dictionary consists, in fact, for each word, of a list of possible translations in the target language, along with a probability associated with each of these possible translations. For practical reasons, the sum of the probabilities of all the possible translations associated with a given word in the source language must equal 1. The different IBM models are, in fact, not limited to one-to-one correspondences at word level, but assume that a source word may be aligned with 0, 1, or n target words. The different models, numbered 1 to 5, include different optimizations to deal with multi-word expressions in the target language, or with words with no equivalent in the other language. For example, determiners that appear in one language but not in the other one. We give a quick overview of the various models without all the mathematical details. Model 1. The first model developed by IBM was extremely simple. It considered that initially, by default, any word from the target language could be the translation of any word in the source language, within 2 sentences that are translations of each other taken from a given bitext. This starting point may seem too crude, but one should keep in mind that the system initially does not have any linguistic knowledge, no dictionary is provided, and will base its analysis on very large corpora. Several millions of aligned sentences are used in most systems nowadays. To illustrate the approach, in what follows, we take the example of a single isolated sentence, but it should be borne in mind that the approach can only work if regularities are identified from millions of examples. In order to roughly determine the probability that a target word M sub T is the likely translation of a source word M sub S, one could collect all the words appearing in all the translations of sentences where M sub S appears, and then calculate the translation probability of each word from the relative frequencies of the words collected this way. This means intuitively that, in the absence of any linguistic knowledge, the system assumes that all the words in the target sentence are possible translations of all the words in the source sentence. Thus, for the sentence pair, "The cat is on the mat," "Le chat est sur la paillasson," the six French words, "le," "chat," "et," "sur," "le," and "paillasson," will be considered as equally probable translations of "cat" as of any other word in the English sentence. Clearly, this strategy does not work for one sentence in isolation. "Paillasson" is not a proper translation for the English word "cat." But the analysis of a huge number of sentences will reinforce the association "chat," "cat," since these two words very frequently appear together in bitexts, whereas the association between "cat" and "paillasson" will remain very marginal, meaning that in the end, the association will have a probability close to zero, and as a result will likely be ignored thereafter. However, this simple solution poses a major problem. If the target sentence contains 20 words, each of them will be a possible translation that will have the same weight as if the target sentence contained 5 words. Yet, as there is only one single equivalent M sub T to find for each M sub S in this case, it is obvious that a longer sentence will lead to more noise, meaning it will generate more erroneous possibilities than a shorter sentence. In other words, the number of words in the sentence should be taken into account in order to increase the probability of each of the 5 words in the shorter sentence. Simultaneously, the system also considers the global probability of all word alignments at sentence level. The reinforcement of some connections at word level, like between "cat" and "shot," will reinforce some possibilities at sentence level, and vice versa, as will be described. Following this principle, IBM defined a process that uses a classic learning algorithm called the Expectation Maximization Algorithm, or EM, which gradually calculates the probabilities associated to each pair M sub S, M sub T, as well as the probabilities associated to each possible alignment at sentence level. As already noted, these two probabilities depend on and gradually reinforce each other. The EM algorithm calculates this joint probability in 2 steps. 1. Arbitrary initial values are first assigned to each of the parameters. Typically, every word in the source sentence can be connected with every word in the target sentence with the same probability. 2. The system then calculates in an iterative manner the probabilities of the overall alignment at sentence level, and then again at word level until convergence is achieved. The process is iterative since the alignment at sentence level changes the probabilities at word level and vice versa until the system reaches a stable state. Let us take an example. Each alignment and each lexical correspondence has the same probability at the beginning. The fact that two words appear regularly together in bitexts, in a source sentence and in the corresponding target sentence, will gradually strengthen their probability of being a translation of each other, as well as the probability of possible alignments at sentence level where these two words are connected. The listener is referred to IBM's initial publication for all the mathematical details. The application of such an algorithm to very large corpora requires being able to control memory management and complex computational methods. Moreover, in practice, not only one-to-one word correspondences are considered, but also 1 to M, when one word in the source language corresponds to M words in the target language, which makes the problem even more complex. Finally, it should be noted that the algorithm guarantees that the result is optimal. That is, there is convergence and the system always stops after a certain number of iterations, which is not always the case by default with the EM algorithm. The other models are all derived from this initial model. They make it more complex in order to take better account of certain language particularities and to provide better translations.